You hear me all right? I was a little bit worried because I've been here 10 minutes and I'd broken the equipment already. I sat on it. quite low tech me. It's good to be here. Traffic was quite smooth on the way here this morning. It's lovely to be here this morning with you guys. It's nice to see. I don't know, it's not like preaching away really, it's just like another home. So it's good to be with you all this morning. I bring greetings from Six Ways Baptist Church, but you know, I haven't told half of them I'm here, so that would be a lie. But those that know I'm here would want to send their greetings, and I send mine too. So it's nice to be here with you today, and I hope that you not only think that by the time that I've finished, that it's not only nice, but it's good. What the Lord has laid on my heart today. I'd like us to pray before we go any further. And Lord, I just thank you for the blessing of being here at George Road Baptist Church this morning. I thank you the blessing of another day that you have given to us. And what a glorious day. And we pray that we might reflect your glory today in what we do. And Lord, I pray that I might reflect your glory in what I'm able to say, that I will be obedient to what you have to say through me today, through your word. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to concentrate rather than thinking about, hope it doesn't go on too long, so I can go and enjoy the weather or whatever it is we have on our minds. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us, even if our minds wander, and even if people think what I say is a load of rubbish. Lord, I pray that you would speak into the hearts and the minds of all of us here, that none of us would go away from here today without something of your blessing, something of the inspiration of your spirit today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I began thinking about today quite some time ago that Mervis sent me the email, and I finally responded to Mervis about coming here today. Wasn't sure about the dates. And as my thoughts began to focus on what it might be that the Lord would want me to bring today, I asked for that guidance and that inspiration, and I didn't feel that it was coming. And then I went out. This doesn't often happen, but I went to the house of some church members. Well, I do that quite a lot. doesn't do any pastoral visiting. But I went to somebody's house on Monday evening, and they cooked me food, and lots of it. And I thought I wasn't actually, you know, that if you're familiar with that story about Winnie the Pooh when he goes to visit Rabbit's house, you know the one I mean, when he gets his big bottom stuck in the hole on the way out and he can't get out. I thought that was going to be me. I wouldn't get through the door on the way out. I had so much food. It was wonderful. It was a blessing in that way. But it was also a blessing in terms of the conversations and the prayer time that we had together. And one of the family members, their daughter is an adult daughter, but sort of in her 20s, and she wanted to talk about the way that she felt that we are disconnected from creation. How we have lost our connection with God's creation. And then I realized that was something that had been on my mind just lately. And then cogs slowly, a bit like on my bike, if you've seen me, began to turn, and I began to think about this, what it was that she'd said. And then I'm excited because tomorrow I'm heading off to Northumbria, whichever it is these days. Anyway, up to the northeast to go to the Northumbria community. First time I've been on a retreat there. And I'm really looking forward to that. Even the uncertainty of sharing a room with somebody else, including the bathroom. I was reading the guidelines about, you know, things to expect, things not to expect, and they said about the internet connection is not that great up there. You can buy a dongle or something like that, but it's a bit off and on. And then it had this phrase, so you might want to think about making another connection, ... And I thought, Then in one of my Bible readings this week that I'm doing, it was about the true vine. and about Jesus and that connection that we have with him, don't we? As part of that vine from John 15. I'll be honest, I'm not going to preach on one particular passage today. It's not normally how I do it, but this is just how it's happened today. If you have a Bible and you turn to John 15, I'm just going to read this as part of the way in which I feel that God has spoken to me today, and I hope and pray that you will feel that God has spoken to all of us somehow. I'd just like to wait until I've stopped hearing the sound of rustling. But then if you've got distracted and taken my prayer literally and you're now looking at other passages, so I'll start. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And so Jesus continues to really emphasize and expand this this notion that we are connected with him organically. And we lose that connection at our peril. Literally, at our peril. And we lose that energy, that connection that there is, that we have with God through his Spirit. So I continue to think about this idea of connection. And I thought about the things that this church member had said to me, and I was thinking about those things that that dismay me about the world that I live in. I thought about my phone and the number of connections that I have, the number of contacts that I have on WhatsApp, the number of contacts that I have, the number of email addresses that I have, the number of emails that I have in my inbox, because I'm not very good at deleting it, but I think general data protection thing is going to mean I'm going to have to tighten up on that. But about all these different ways that we can communicate with each other and yet somehow not be very well connected with each other. I began to think about the way that we don't know about the food that we produce. Some of us, or that we eat, we don't know how it's been produced. The food that we buy in supermarkets. You know, every now and again there's a survey comes out about school children, whether or not they know where eggs come from. And they don't know about chickens, but they come from there. They have a separate notion of the chicken that you get from KFC and the egg that maybe your parents force you to eat every now and again. But for all of us, we have living in somewhere like Birmingham, in an urban environment, where we buy our food, by and large, from supermarkets, where it's all packaged up and it's all sanitized. We've lost that connection with where that food comes from. We've lost that connection with how it is produced. And I know that there are things changing and all sorts of ways that lots of us think about the food that we eat much more carefully and always have done, some people. But I think as a general rule, we're separated from the causes and the consequences of what we do, of what we buy, of what we eat, of how much we eat, of how little we eat, of how we invest, of how we use things, of how we travel. I was watching an aeroplane. Well, I was supposed to be digging at the allotment yesterday, and I was watching one of the planes going across on its way to Birmingham Airport, and thinking about how when you're on a plane, if you've had the privilege, well, maybe not a privilege, the terrible experience, whichever way you view it, of flying. It's a weird thing, isn't it? Just stop and think about it, that you're up there in this little capsule, apart from all the stuff like, oh, we might fall to the ground, but the notion that you're just in this little capsule, this little bubble, going across all those different countries, all those different places, sealed in that unit. No connection with the countries that you go across. Even if you then have to stop en route somewhere, you don't get out to see what that place is like particularly. You just move in transit from one place to another. We're so disconnected. We're disconnected from the way that, as it does over Erdington, bits of fuel and all sorts of other horrible things descend on us. They do, from those planes. Yeah, they look nice. We're disconnected from the impact of where, how the fuel was obtained, all of those other things. Could say the same of cars. Cars that go through our community that maybe we drive, where people are so disconnected from the area that they're driving through, or maybe even the area they live in, that it's nothing just to drop a piece of litter out of the window. It's nothing simply to emit your fumes as you go through. I cycled here today. So many ways that we are disconnected. We're starting to make some connections in different ways. All the stuff at the moment about plastics and how we overuse those and misuse those. So many ways that we are disconnected from that creation that has been put there for us to be stewards of by the gardener, the vine dresser, by God the Father, God our Creator. And we're disconnected from each other. I have loads, not bragging, it's just because of church really, that I have lots of contacts. But I don't know how many of those people are really friends. I don't know how many of those people are real connections that I can make. Somebody from our church moved here from Cameroon about a year or so ago. And I was chatting with her about the differences between being in Cameroon and being here. And she said two things that saddened her about being here in Erdington. It isn't just about Erdington, but of being here. One was that everybody seems so busy. And two, she doesn't know her neighbours. She wants to know her neighbours, but the two feed into each other. They're so busy, she doesn't get to know them. In Cameroon, she didn't even live in the community that she'd always grown up in. She moved to the capital city to go and teach. But she still knew who her neighbors were. This disconnection. This way that we have got into, we've lost the rhythm of life that God has given to us. We've become so disconnected from this. We live in our little dormitories, our little cells, our little bubbles that we create in order to protect ourselves from the world around us, from all those things that we are fearful about, all those things where we are concerned that other people might take things away from us. So what I want to say to us today is that these ramblings about connection and disconnection, I'm putting it to us today that this occurs to me that this is a way for us to understand the essential sinfulness of humanity. That we have become disconnected from God. Yeah, if you were, do we still use this kind of thing? Maybe we do, but those things where we've got that gap, you know, those evangelistic things we do about, now we're here and there's this big chasm that's opened up between us and God, and then we do a little cross. I do this sometimes as well, okay? And then we have the cross, which is the bridge that you can go across in order to get back to God. Or whatever metaphor, whatever image it is that is our favorite or that we find most effective at that time to use. It's this disconnection that we as a people are not connected enough with God. As a people, we are not connected enough with each other. And the two are linked, aren't they? Yes? What does Jesus say are the two most important commandments? I've given us a clue. Come on, talk to me, people. So what does Jesus say are the two most important commandments when somebody asks him? Actually, when several people ask him, because different gospels tell us different things. But same answer. That's right. Yes, amen. Yes. So I think the first one that I was hearing in there was love the Lord your God. Yeah? With all heart. All your strength, yeah, and soul, yeah. Basically, love God with everything you've got, everything. And when we say love, it's not that just kind of soppy, romantic kind of love. It's about commitment. That's what God is needing from us, is commitment. That's what that kind of love is. And the second one, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Yeah, so we have this vertical. I know God's not just up there, okay? But this vertical thing going on about our relationship with God, the Father, the creator of everything, and we have this horizontal thing, which is about how we relate to each other. In the same way that in 1 John chapter 4, I think, sorry if I can't remember the exact chapter and verse, yeah, and John talks about how can you love each other who you can see? How can you not love each other who you see? And yet you say that you love God who you can't see. Yeah? Actually, it says it the other way around. I messed it up. Yeah? But if we're saying that we love God, we have to love each other. These things are important and they're linked. They're linked how we connect with each other. Because Jesus says they are linked in what he's saying when he's offering those as the two greatest commandments on which everything all holds together. And he says the way in which his disciples will be known as his disciples is how? How will people know that we are his disciples? We love. We love one another. Yeah? The connection is so important. And Jesus ultimately holds it all together. We have this image in Colossians in chapter 1. With Jesus at the center of all creation, holding it all together. The love streaming from God the Father by the Spirit through Jesus Christ into all of the universe, all of creation that we need to remain connected with. And if we lose that connection with creation, if we lose that connection with who we are and where we're from and where our neighbor is from and who they are, if we lose that connection with each other, we lose that connection with God. There are so many people out there in this world, maybe in this place, who are disconnected spiritually. There are so many people out there who are fizzing with spirituality, but they're disconnected spiritually. There are people who will get excited about things like football. There are people that will get sad and want to bring flowers wherever somebody dies, or to post things online when something happens, to join together, to connect in different ways. There are people that will get all emotional about two people getting married that they've never met and they will never ever meet on that other event that's happening in a couple of weeks' time. You know, the lesser thing that's happening down in London or Windsor or wherever. And I don't mean the cup final, but that too. There's this spiritual energy that's there. But what are we doing with it? What are we doing with it? We're not making that connection, enabling people to make that connection. People want to be spiritual. People have this thing. God has put it in us, in everybody. And because we have lost that connection, we haven't quite joined it up. So there are hordes of people out there who need to know about Jesus, who want to know about something that can give meaning to their lives so they can join things up, so they can make that connection with God. And so if we are connected with them, if we can make those links with them, then we can start to form those connections. We can start to join things up. And so that's why I believe that the church's job, part of the church's job, is for us to model something different, to show something different to humanity. Beginning in Erdington, for my church, for your church here. but for all churches, to show that things can be different, to show that we can help to join things up. And I know that you people at George Road are part of that process, of part of what we're doing, that kingdom work that needs to be done. Because we live in communities that are so isolated and disconnected. We bring people together, the community meals, the food bank, the different clubs and services that have been offered here for years and will continue to be, and all of the new ones that Pastor Daniel is going to be leading you in, well, encouraging you to do, facilitating, enabling you, getting you excited about doing, so that you can reach out. It's also got to be that when people come into the church, that they can feel there's some connection with people here. That they can feel there's some connection with what's going on here. Doesn't seem so weird. And I'm not saying it is. I'm just the church in general. But people need to know that what's happening in church is not just so remote and removed that it has no connection with their lives at all, no relevance. Yeah, we need to talk in language that is language for 2018. We need to, that doesn't mean we just have to kind of, you know, pick up whatever swear words or slang words there are out there. But we need to be relevant in order to be connected, so that people can make those connections and grow in Christ. That's part of our job as God's people. In these churches that we have, with all of our flaws, with all of our ways that we just want to make links with people like us and people that we know and people that we're used to. If our churches are just clubs where we do things in the way that we've done them for years, we're not going to be able to make connections with people outside. If we don't follow the Jesus example and mix across generations and mix across barriers of culture and race and class as Jesus did, then we're not going to get anywhere. We're going to wither and die. Worthily, sadly, but that's what's going to happen. We have to make connections with the community around us. In spite of what Peter warns in his first letter about how it is to be church, to be like aliens in a broken, corrupt world around us. He says that to the people then for a particular reason. In spite of that, we need to look at the incarnational, inspirational example of Jesus, who eats with the wrong people, who crosses boundaries, who makes connections, who walks around, who bumps into people, and people bump into him, and things change because he's open to make those connections. Whereas us, I biked here today, but I do also drive, okay, so the finger's pointing at me too. We drive around in our cars. We get other people to drive us around in their cars. We don't meet people as we do that, but we're safe and secure in a little bubble. We maybe stay in our room and just send people messages or just look either out through the window or on the telly or on our laptop or our phone at what's happening in the world outside. Oh, we're so connected. We've got great connectivity. But we're not actually that connected. Or we sit on our sofas, despairing about the state of the world, or saying what needs to happen, and only meeting one or two people. But we're so not connected. We're not making ourselves available. We're not taking those risks. One of the things that I know about the Northumbria community, where I'm heading this week to go and make a new connection with God, is there are two rules for the Northumbria community. One is availability, and the other is vulnerability. These two things, availability and vulnerability. So when we step out and step up to mix with different people, to allow ourselves to be bumped into by other people, or to bump into other people ourselves, we take risks. We make ourselves available, here I am, and we make ourselves vulnerable, because anything can happen. So when I have the door open at church, up at Six Ways, and I sit there, some mornings, I don't just kind of hang around, but, you know, if the door's open, then people wander in. It's quite random. I've met some really great people. I've met some really scary people. and some really interesting people. But they're all made in His image. And they're all people, some of those people I now have lasting connections with because of that. Jean will tell you, Food Bank, the kind of people that we have made connections with through that, by putting ourselves out there. Not just the people that come into the food bank asking for help, but those people who we have formed links with, other organizations, even other churches where we didn't used to work with them, but now we do. Even people from other faith backgrounds. We make ourselves available. We make ourselves more vulnerable. We make ourselves more open to making these connections. And there are so many things that work against us being able to make those connections and keep in touch with people. I haven't watched it for a long time, but one of my favorite films used to be, I don't know if it still is The Deer Hunter. Has anybody seen The Deer Hunter, the film? No? Just the two of us then. Thank you. Okay, we can talk about it afterwards. Anyway, the film The Deer Hunter is about Vietnam. It's a very long film. It's not easy viewing. It's not necessarily wholesome, recommended Christian viewing as well. But I'm not judging you or me, brother. But it's out there. It's a very interesting film. And so it's about Vietnam, and it's about the experiences of a group of people from a steel town in the States who then go and are the victims of that war, and maybe the heroes. And there's a bit where the character played by Robert De Niro and somebody else, his name is Steven anyway, who comes back, he's lost both of his legs as a result of the war, and Robert De Niro is trying to make a connection with him. And there's this terrible, excruciating bit in a phone booth where he's phoning him in the home where the other guy is who's lost his legs. And they don't know what to say to each other. And so being American and being Robert De Niro, he just goes, "Hey." And Stephen goes, there's a pause, and goes, "Hey." And then Robert De Niro goes, after a little pause, "Hey." And that's about as far as the conversation is able to go, because they've lost that connection. Because there are so many circumstances, hopefully nothing as extreme as that, that cause us to lose that connection. I was visiting another person, that's two visits I've done this week, hooray. somebody in our church who's, she's 90, and another church member who's 90, and they've done loads of stuff, worked together over the years, the other person, she's had a stroke, and she's stuck at home, and I'm trying to encourage this one person to phone them or go and visit them. And then she owned up. She said, "The thing is, if I go and see her, or even if I phone her up, I don't know what we talk about anymore." And that was just so sad. I feel really sad saying it now. They have a connection, but they've lost it somehow along the way. And this is what the brokenness, the sadness of this world that we live in, this disconnected world that we live in, does to us. Some things will work against us, being able to actually meet other people or even renew acquaintances with other people. And which is why we need to work at it. Because some things are simply going to work against that. But some things we can do something about. We can put ourselves out there be available, be vulnerable, be meeting people, be doing things that we have not done before. And when we do those things, we can begin to strengthen, as part of that, our connection with God. Because the other thing I just want to say briefly, I think I was told about half an hour. Yes. Normally I'm like 15 minutes me, so I'm making the most of this. sorry. No, I'm going to stop in a moment. Because the thing is about this spiritual yearning that we have within us, and that need for us to have that connection with God. That is how we are made. That is how we are wired. He has set that in us. But for so many of us, we've kind of lost that. We bury it. We just do church for an hour and a half on a Sunday. We might say the odd prayer now and again when we're in trouble. We might do things occasionally that people in the church who are a little bit more involved than us might pressurize us into doing. Being a bit cruel, a bit mean. But sometimes that's how we can bury it. So we need to expand and make ourselves more vulnerable and available to God as well as to other people. To allow that time for that connection to be there. So for me to leave my phone off, maybe even at home, and not take the laptop when I go away this week to make that other kind of connection. But for us to make that space in order to enable us to be connected with God as He intends us to be. Why do I know that He intends us to be not only together with each other but with Him? Because it tells me at the beginning and at the end of God's story for us in His Word. In Genesis chapter 2, God says of Adam, it is not good for man to be alone. And so we have Eve. We have the first two human beings. God has meant us to be together and be in communion with Him. And at the end, Revelation 21, let's read it. Revelation 21. And then I'm going to finish in a minute. John says in his revelation that he receives from God, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" God's plan is for us to be reconnected with Him. That's why we have Jesus. So that we can make that connection that has been lost. So that we can join things up in how we relate to each other. That's why Jesus did what He did. He didn't just kind of get born, suddenly say, "Here I am, I'm Jesus, the Son of God, and then crucify me so that I can forgive your sins." There's a bit in the middle. All the things that Jesus does to show us how we need to make those connections with the people around us and with God Himself. Because that is God's plan for us, for all of us, for all humanity, whom He loved so much that He sent Jesus. So my call to us today, I say to us, including me, is for us to take that time to connect. To connect with God and to show the world what Jesus showed us and what Jesus is still showing us today. A genuine way of being connected with Him and with each other. Can we do that? We'll do our best. Amen.